May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're continuing on in this season of Lent, 5 weeks, this is week 4, in looking at our covenantal God, the God who makes promises. And these are one-way promises. Have you noticed that over the past 3 weeks? These are one-way promises. These are promises that God makes to us. And the first one was covenantal God, saving water. You know, did you know there's a quiz at the beginning of every sermon? Remember the saving water? What story was that?
Noah.
Yes. And the promise that never again would God destroy the earth by bringing a flood. And the second one, covenantal God, new identity. Do you remember what that one was?
Abraham,
right, being given a new identity. And also that promise, right, to raise up a nation from Abraham. Second one, covenantal God. Do you remember last week, your gift? Speak up.
The commandments.
Yeah, we don't like to think of the commandments, do we? Right, but it really is pure gift. It is it's life-giving, these commandments, for every single person. So we tend to think about what we're not supposed to do, right? That's what we tend to think about, as opposed to being on the receiving side of, you know, what people are commanded to do and not to do. So what an incredible life gift that is. And today, the covenantal God that we're going to look at, this is probably one of the most important covenants that we're going to discover, is look up. So it was from our first reading. King David was one of the most powerful kings, one of the ones that God had shown favor on. And we know that King David wasn't exactly all that great of a king, was he, when it came to his personal life? And if you're not so sure about that, check out the Bible. It has some pretty interesting reading in there, and in many ways we can identify ourselves. But one of the things that David wants to do for Jesus is to build a house. So I have never lived in a community before where there was so much building going on. Never. I grew up in a community that was already built out. And so when Carl and I moved to the Tradition community, we saw that it was a community that was probably less than a quarter of the way built out. And that continues to surprise me, that everything is brand new. And so like a kid, I really was in awe as these houses started to go up. And it was sort of fun to watch these houses go up. It was very careful the way the construction was. I had no idea how construction worked at all. You know, I got the whole foundation. I didn't get the under the foundation. I didn't get the prepping of the land and the laying of the pipes and all that happens. And then the covering over of that and the pouring of cement and how they use different contraptions to pour cement, right? You look up and you say, oh, well, what are they pouring this time? Is it specific cement? Are they just throwing cement out there, right? Then you have the once the foundation is there, then you have the cylinder, the blocks, right? Those, why can't I think of what the word is? Cinder blocks, thank you, coming in. And have you ever seen the guys that do that? I've never seen a happier bunch of people. And then to watch them, like, lift up, what is that called, that piece that goes over the doorway or the lintel, right? They pick that up together and they work together, and the concrete that then gets poured even more, and those metal rods that come out, what the heck are those things called that come out of the middle? See, I know nothing. What is it called? Thank you. I just watch it go up, and it's really fun to watch. And then when they bring the trusses in, like, I can tell now, oh, roof going up, because I can see when it comes on the flatbed. I would never have known any of this stuff before. So the roof trusses, and then the wood that goes, and then the rest that goes on, and then inside, and the drywall, and the electricity, and the had no concept of any of this at all. Knew that this was all happening, but never really watched it get constructed before. And then inside you've got the ductwork, you've got the drywall, you've got the painting, the cabinets, the countertops. It feels like the outside goes up like that, and the inside seems to take forever, doesn't it? And
then when Carl and I moved here, there was no house on either side of us. So we left for a very long time. I think it was a good 2 years, 2.5 years. No one wants to live next to the pastor. Every other lot seemed to sell, but ours, I don't know. I mean, I didn't get that whole thing. What was that all about? I mean, the apartment building, so that when we first moved here, the Atlantic wasn't there. We watched that being built, which was amazing. Every time we looked up, we were just in awe. Wawa was in here. The hospital was in here. I mean, we could go on and on and on about this construction that's going on here. It's pretty amazing. Panera. Now what's the latest thing going on in the square? Hopcat, right? New developments going on. There was a new school that went up. The Renaissance wasn't here when we first got here. So it's amazing how much building is going on. So now back to our Old Testament story. King David is sitting in his palace, is really where he is. And he's happy and he's peaceful. You know how when you get into your new home, right? Those who have, you know, you get into your new home and you're like, ah, oh, this feels really, really great. Comfortable, safe, everything is good. And King David is like, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, which is where God dwelled with God's people, right? That was seen as the Ark. And the Ark was what contained the covenant, which was the two tablets of the, we heard that covenant story last week about the Ten Commandments. Well, they were actually on stones. And so King David is sitting there saying, and God's hanging out in a tent? I don't know. Something's wrong here. I'm going to build a house for God. Makes perfect sense. Nathan seems to think it makes perfect sense. Who is the prophet or the one whom God speaks to and through for King David? So, okay, sounds good to me. And Nathan really thinks this is what God wants until he goes to bed and has a vision. I think God was pretty firm about what he wanted, wasn't it? This is what I want you to go and tell David, right? Tell Nathan that, number one, have I asked for you to build me a house? I dwell with my people wherever they are, right? I go with them. I am with the people. Did I tell the Israelite leaders, hey, stop what you're doing and build a house for me? No, I never told them to do that. And God reminds David about how God has been present with him all the time, not in a temple, not in a house. He said, I've been with you wherever you went. I was with you when you were in the pasture taking care of the sheep. I have stopped your enemies from crushing you. I am the one who has given you this strength and might. I am the one who has brought you to this place. I have provided for you, and I've provided for your ancestors in the wilderness. I will provide and continue to care for you. But now, God says something new. But not just for you, but for your offspring. And, as we say today, wait for it, I, God, will build you a house. So I'm wondering if David, at that point that he hears this, if Nathan doesn't continue on saying, like, really, I have a house. What kind of a house are you going to build for me? But that's not the kind of house of brick and mortar that God has in mind. He's talking about a different kind of a house. And in the Hebrew language, the house and house, like we might say dynasty versus, you know, a house, but house is the same word. So what God is saying is, I'm going to build you a dynasty, a lineage, a bloodline, a line of rulers, you know, hereditary over a kingdom. That's the type of house that God is speaking about. It's sort of like the house of Tudor. Do you know the house of Tudor? It's Queen Elizabeth. And it happened all the way and was built from Henry VII all the way to Queen Elizabeth II. It's that dynasty. It's that kingship. It's that monarchy that's called the House of Tudor versus Tudor's house. You see the difference that's happening here. The house that God is promising is the house of David. This is an incredible promise, this covenant that's made to David. It's called the Davidic covenant, and it has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. What God is saying is, hey, David, when you're dead, I'm going to raise up offspring after you, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be my son. This is the promise of the birth of a new kingdom, a new reign that will come about through David. And in the first century, this is still what people are waiting for from 1000 BC all the way forward. Do you think they were a little tired of waiting? But they never forgot the promise. This was the most powerful promise that they hung everything on, because they understood this God who makes and keeps promises. The question is, when and how will we know? Jesus comes along. You've heard it said, some refer to him as Son of David. You are the Messiah. You are the one that we have been waiting a thousand years for, generations. We thought that you would never come. And some saw it like that and called him Son of David, and others did not see it at all. They couldn't see it. Throughout the Gospels, the question is asked, are you the long-awaited king? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? And that waiting for comes from this very covenant that God made with David. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. How do we know it's you? You know, sometimes if we don't understand this piece of the promise, we could be like, why do they keep on asking that question? Well, they keep asking the question because they've been waiting and waiting. And so now they're like, wow, is the time now? The answer we know is yes. Jesus is God's house. A house for all time, and a house for all people, coming from the lineage of the earthly man, David, but fully God incarnate. But this house, God's house, is not the house that they were expecting. In fact, it's not even the house that they wanted. You see, what they wanted in Jesus was a powerful king, a warrior, someone just like David that was going to come and just destroy all the enemy, conquer, dominate. But what did they get? What they got was a powerful king whose power is found in the opposite. It's found in weakness, a king who suffers with them so that they may have life forever. What they wanted was someone who would put the other people up on the cross. What they got was instead a king who was put on the cross. Not what they were expecting, not what they wanted. And let's be honest, at times in our life, is that the kind of king we want? If we're honest, we want that king that's going to just put all the enemies at our feet, and not the king on the cross. But what we need is the king on the cross. The house of God and God's reign looks different, and it is different then and also today. For us to understand the power and the majesty of God's house, we have to look up, not look up at a building, but to a person, Jesus Christ. Most importantly, Jesus Christ raised up. and Jesus Christ, who is then raised up from death, and then Jesus Christ, who is raised up to heaven. So for us to really see and experience God's house is for us to see Christ on the cross. Christ on the cross for you, for me, for us. And as we heard in today's gospel reading, Christ on the cross for the world. To see God's house is to see Christ then raised from death to life for you, for me, for us, and for the world. And to see Christ raised is to see Christ ascended from this life to heaven for you, for me, for us, and for the world. So, for us to be able to see God's house in Christ, we must look up. We have to look up to the cross, where reconciliation happens. We have to look up to Christ raised from death, where new life happens, rebirth, now for us today. And we have to look up to Christ raised to the Father, where our new life and birth today will continue forever beyond this side. Here's the thing that I'm going to tell you. Always remember, when you're looking for Christ, look up. Amen.